Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. I'm pleased that we can be together once more. Christian Basics, the series continues. The current Christian basic we're considering together is the part that God Himself plays in our salvation. These studies are designed to help us as we seek to disciple the Lord's people, especially new believers. We've discovered the wonderful truth that every spiritual blessing comes to us not because we deserved it, but because God has chosen to be gracious to us. You'll remember how Jesus himself helped his disciples to see this. He said to them in John 15, verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." How favoured we are if we belong to Christ. How immensely kind God has been to us. We really do owe him everything. Last time, here on Serving Today, John Hall began to take us through Romans chapter 9. And what's so helpful about Romans 9 is that Paul carefully deals with the objections our sinful hearts may make to the Bible's teaching about God's choice. And before we look at some more of that chapter today, I think it's important for us to see why our sinful hearts might object to this Bible teaching. Now, you may have noticed that I've repeated our sinful hearts. That was quite deliberate because the reason we object to God's choice of believers is really our own pride. Our sinful hearts don't like to be told we could do nothing to save ourselves. In our pride, we like to think we contributed to our salvation in some way or other. We like to take some of the credit or praise for ourselves. Indeed, even when we acknowledge our sinfulness, which is a humbling experience itself, our hearts still like to think they're not as bad as they really are, and that we've some ability within ourselves to rectify the situation. So when we read Bible words, such as the ones I quoted from Jesus, "You did not choose me, but I chose you," our sinful hearts object. And really, it all comes down to this. Are we humbly willing to accept all that the Bible teaches us about our salvation, or are we going to proudly resist some of that teaching? Well, let's return then to Romans 9. Derek French is talking with John Hall for us. And to begin with, John is going to be taking up Paul's answer to another objection some have made against God.
He then gives another Old Testament illustration of Pharaoh, whose life was used to show God's power and whose heart was hardened, and therefore concludes, "God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden." And this brings them on to another objection. Verse 19, "One of you will say to me, 'Then why does God still blame us for who resists his will?' 'I'm not responsible,' says the man. 'God has mercy or hardens according to his own will. So what responsibility or blame is mine if it's all God's action?" You may say that's a reasonable objection. Now, how does Paul deal with it? He doesn't say, "You've misunderstood me." But what he says is something that's profoundly humbling. He says you cannot call God to account for his actions. Look at verse 20. "But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purpose and some for common use?" You see, he's giving us the picture there. God is the potter and we are the clay. It's profoundly humbling. I wonder if you're a potter. There you've got a lump of clay in your hands. Does the clay ever say to you, "Why do you make me into a jug? Or why do you make me into a bowl?" No, you as the potter have the right and the power to make out of your lump of clay whatever you choose. And that's what Paul is teaching here. And it humbles us, but it's profoundly humbling. No, we've really understood the biblical text when it says that God chooses and it doesn't depend on our works or actions, but on God's mercy.
Yes, I think this is a very deep passage, isn't it, John? And as you said, very humbling, and we have to, in a sense, leave things with God. I think sometimes we ask the wrong question when we say, why doesn't God save anyone? I think if you're a believer, then you ask the question, well, why did God bother to save me? Because I'm just so unworthy, and yet he's done so, hasn't he?
That's right. Perhaps it ought to amaze us more that God does save people rather than that he doesn't save everyone as we might think he ought to do. Derek, could you read just two other verses which show that God is the one who in his own purpose and grace saves? One is 2 Timothy 1:9 and the other is Romans 10:20.
Yes, I'll read the one from 2 Timothy 1 first. God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. And then Romans 10 verse 20, and Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who do not seek me, I reveal myself to those who do not ask for me.
And another verse, just to hammer home the point, this is from 1 Corinthians 1:27 to 29, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And Romans 11:5 to 6. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. God chooses according to his own plan and purpose. It's not works, but grace, so that no one can boast. If you ever begin to add anything to God's grace, then you destroy grace, because God's grace is God's free and unmerited favour to lost sinners. Ponder that.
John, seeing that salvation is very clearly God's work from the beginning, would it be right to conclude that saving faith in Christ is actually God's gift to sinners and not something that we produce from, if you like, some inner resources in the depths of our own hearts?
That's true, Derek. We are spiritually dead. Saving faith must come from God as a gift, and the scriptures make it clear that it does. In Acts 14:38, Paul writes this, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honoured the word of God, and all who were appointed or ordained to eternal life believed. Ordained by God, so they believed. In Philippians 1 and verse 29, Paul writes, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Granted, given, belief and suffering. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, something that's a gift that you receive.
It's really rather wonderful, isn't it? Because it makes our salvation not only itself more wonderful, but we are eternally secure because God has done this for us.
That's right. If you're a Christian, you're secure. God has planned it. God has chosen you. God has called you. God has given you life and faith. And having done all this for us, he sustains us and promises to bring us to glory. Remember that text in Romans 8 that he calls, justifies and glorified. As one confession of faith says, this doctrine is full of sweet, pleasant and unspeakable comfort to godly persons and such as feel in themselves the working of the Spirit of Christ.
That's a lovely quotation, isn't it?
It is.
John, quite rightly, you've told us that the Bible teaches that we are not saved by works. But where do good works come into all of this? Because surely Christians are expected to do good works, aren't they?
They are, Derek. Good works are very, very important. But the sequence is this. Good works don't earn salvation. But once a person is saved, they want to please God and so do the good works that God has planned for them. We see that sequence in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, which Derek is going to read for us now.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Notice that there, saved by grace, God's unmerited favour, given faith. And this is not from yourselves, nor is it of works. It's God who has created in us that desire. We are God's workmanship. And because we are God's workmanship, then we work for God. That is the sequence. There's a similar sequence that Jesus has in John 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. There it's quite clear, not man's choice, but God's choice. And what did he choose them for? But I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last.
So good works really, they don't lead up to salvation, they flow from it.
That's right, Derek.
John, then, in closing, what should our response be to God's marvellous and gracious work in salvation? Perhaps we could look at it in two ways. What should our response be, first of all, if we are already Christian believers?
If we're believers, then it should be one of praise and joy and amazement. Like Paul expresses in Romans 11, 33 to 36. Could you read that for us, Derek, please?
Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counsellor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory for ever. Amen.
So we should be amazed, humbled, and really praise God and be filled with joy that we're believers. We should be filled with that security of knowing that God has his hand on us for good, and he will not fail. He will do all that he has promised for us. So, believer, if you're having a trying time, you're suffering for your faith, life is difficult, know this: God has chosen you, God has loved you in Christ, God has drawn you to himself, God has declared you not guilty in Christ, and he's promised you glory. He's not going to fail, and that should cause you great joy.
It is indeed very wonderful. John, then, that's what our response should be if we are believers. What should happen if someone has not yet come to know Christ as their Saviour?
One young man, when I asked him, was he a Christian, said to me, Derek, I'm waiting to be saved. I'm waiting to be chosen by God. And I exploded and said, no, no, you're not allowed to say that from the Bible, because you're commanded to repent and believe. You must come to Christ now. Remember what Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. That's God's sovereign choice and sovereignty and action and grace. But he goes on, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And so if you're concerned for your soul, you need to come to Jesus now, not to wait until you know that you're chosen. You need to ask him for mercy now, not to wait. The situation is desperate. You're lost, hell-bound. It's urgent that you call on God. And what you need to do is call out this prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because you know that God and God alone is able to save you in Christ.
And that brings our time to an end here on Serving Today. This is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you as you serve him. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.